As you don't know me, I'm Chris Dowding. I'm a director of the ABM. And as I always say, I'm talking to you from sunny Sussex, where it's very sunny and lots of blue sky today. So I hope it's the same with you, wherever you might be. So that's fine. We've got our usual 30 minutes today. I just wanted to split the session between the five P's or the four P's that Georgina told you about, and then perhaps we just have some discussion about sort of general matters and other things going on, and just hear what you're picking up and any sort of issues and questions and queries that you might have. So just a sort of general session towards the end. But I was on a, I spoke to the, bit of background, I spoke to the Gloucester Growth Hub. I'm on a bit of a campaign with the Growth Hubs at present. I spoke to a gentleman called Rod Horrock at Gloucester a couple of weeks back. He says to me, have you heard about the five P's? So I said, well, no, I haven't actually. So he sent me through a paper that came from the Harvard Business School, which immediately sort of made me sort of stop and think again and look at it upside down, backwards, front and inside out. But breaking it down, there a paper's been put together by academic Carsten Lund Pedersen, who I guess is Scandinavian, and Thomas Ritter. And they're talking about how businesses and SMEs, going from an academic position to a practical position, can prepare and work their way out of the pandemic and be ready for this going forward. We dealt with the five P's are position, plan, which we dealt with last week, perspective, projects, and preparedness, or preparedness. We dealt with plan last week, but I thought it'd be useful just to run through these pretty quickly. So it could be of use to yourselves, could be used to clients, and some food for thought on where we are and how we move forward. This was an academic paper that's come out, but the Gloucester Growth Hub have tried to get it into sort of practical terms, make it useful for business, provides some focus for SMEs as they move forward, as they reflect on where they are. So chip in, please do. The first position. So in order to make strategic decisions, what is the position of the business? Where do you stand in the market? What's the market look like? Where are your competitors? What direction are you going in? Can you regain lost ground? Will the business come out of the pandemic in a viable position or in a distressed position? They go on to talk about many businesses in many sectors, travel, hospitality, events industries, who really are having a really rough time. And whatever their position might be, they're going to be in a very, very difficult position when it's all over. On the other hand, there are those in who are doing well in the current situation because of the position they currently have. So office, home equipment, internet-enabled communication, home delivery services. So a difference in position, a difference in how they can move forward. So want to ask what you're seeing, what you're feeling, what your views might be on, and how you see your clients working with the position they're in, and how their position can perhaps be, those who aren't in the right position can be adjusted, how they can be moved forward. Any comments, please? Any thoughts on a position? It's the first of the four P's we're talking about, please. Yes? Silence.
Chris, in the paper, did they give any indication of good examples or they've looked at to suggest that the four P's work?
There's no examples given, but I think that when we start talking about those who are, as far as those who are in a bad position, the hospitality and leisure people, and those who are in a good position, the online services, the home delivery services, home office equipment, those who are in a good position, I think that's the examples, the very brief examples that have been given. Do any of you have clients that are in those particular sectors? And where, if you have, what's their position? What are they feeding back to? What are they talking about?
Yeah, so I've got clients in event and hospitality, which obviously has been devastated and will continue to be. So it's probably the sector that's probably going to struggle the most for the longest period of time. The UK Hospitality Association has lobbied government to try and get the 2 metre rule reduced to 1 metre, as it has been done in many countries in Europe, which are fairly, you know, we're roughly 2 weeks behind in the pandemic cycle. And I heard this morning on the radio that Boris is actually considering putting that to his scientists to see whether they can do that. The 1 metre rule will allow hospitality venues to increase capacity from 20%, which is what the 2 metre rule suggests,
yes,
to something like nearly 75% if we go down to 1 metre.
Right.
And, you know, there's lots of innovative ways that the hospitality sector are considering working and supporting that new, if it comes into being. So it's, I think, positioning is a tough one. It's how innovative they are, but, you know, there are certainly clients out there that are, you know, I had one client yesterday in technology. He's never been so busy, you know, infrastructure, support services. All his team working from home, digitally, virtually. He's looking for more staff, you know. So it's a tough world out there.
For him, yes, but it also tells us that if you're fortunate enough to have your business in the right position, then there's opportunity and opportunities to grow. Whilst obviously sympathising with those who are in the reverse of that situation, the opposite situation. Such as people in hospitality who clearly are struggling and really don't know where they're going to and when things might start to change for them. Okay, the second one is perspective, how you view your business, how clients view their businesses, how they think their perspective will change under the influence where we are at present. People working together, the sort of staff and manpower that a business might have, you know, the workings within that. Again, is anyone seeing anything on perspective or taking a view on their perspective of how their business is going to move forward? How you might change your perspective on what you're doing and how you're doing it? Gary, please.
I think, you know, I don't think I'm going to share anything that we've not known or discussed, but I think every single business that I'm working with is really challenging what their business model looks like going forward. You know, being on the phone with a client this morning who's got a 7-person office, and she was always one that, I'm a control freak, I want everybody in the office, we work a 9-to-5, da, da, da. And there was always barriers to why they couldn't work from home. Now they've been forced to work from home. She's got a team that's more productive. She's got a team that's more engaged because they can start when they want, finish when they want, walk the dog, go to the gym, do whatever. They're not having to spend 2 hours a day on the motorway. And she's one of her biggest challenges, because I still think we're going to see a ripple effect with this. You know, we might back to business in a couple of months, but I still think we're going to be seeing the collateral damage with our customers and the market for 2 years. So she's saying, do I need to pay $2,500 a month for a rented office with 7 people crammed in? Or do I move all my training online? Can I deliver my one-to-ones? She's an accountant. Can I deliver my one-to-ones by Zoom? Then me or them don't need to travel. And can I have my team working on a rota basis so I can get away with a 3- or 4-man office? So I think every client I'm talking to is really challenging whether the traditional model they had is one that they actually want to go back to, because on reflection, it was broken. So why would I go back to something that wasn't working?
Yeah, quite. But they haven't seen that they haven't seen the broken model, or the pandemic, the lockdown has enabled them to see the broken model and the way the bad way they may have been working then. It's been the cathartic moment. It's been the wake-up call.
People are looking through a different lens now and going, do I need an office? Do I need to show customers that I've got this amazing office? Do I need to be travelling here, there and everywhere to go see a customer when everybody's now happy with Zoom? And do I, you know, how do I make my cost base the lowest it can be? Because if I do get a drop in revenue over the next couple of years because of this ripple effect, actually I'm able to contract my business quicker because my costs are under control. And it's looking through that different lens that Buzz's mentors have to educate our clients to look through that lens and have a different perspective.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of ego there, isn't there? When and we've probably all been there to a degree if we've had fairly large businesses. Is that it's you want that nice office, you know, the you want to impress people, you want your staff to, you know, live in an environment, work in an environment that's good. But what we've actually seen is quite a Gary C, and I've got clients who are exactly the same. You know, one was just about to sign a lease on a 150 desk office. Doesn't need it. He needs probably 30 desks now. Yeah. You know, and
if I could just add to what Simon said, one of my CEO group members is in office design. And for the last 2 months, she's been inundated, working 18 hours a day with her team, where companies have approached her to redesign their offices, reducing floors, and that includes the Financial Times. So I think what's happened is companies are now really appreciating that working from home can work, and they're prepared to take it on. But there are others that want to work in the office. But what it means is you restrict your operation. Going back to Simon's point, it may be that you just want to have one floor. Therefore, you can still share that with your clients and look at the fact that the added benefit of this is the improved well-being of the staff, the reduced travelling and carbon footprint reduction. I think there really is a major push forward that there's a lot of businesses that are going to be doing more of this and not going back to what was previously normal.
You think of the benefits that that can bring to the individual employee, not travelling, spending more time at home, changing their lifestyle, reducing their childcare fees. You know, all that money that they're saving is going in their savings account or in their bank balance and reducing their carbon footprint. You know, it's a huge benefit, a huge benefit. I think I mentioned a few weeks ago about Barclays that live in one of the towers in Canary Wharf, 7,000 desk spaces. They're literally thinking now of reducing that to less than 3,000.
Yes, that's
a huge turnaround.
Sorry, who was next? Who was chipping in? Not me. I heard a lady's voice. Sorry. No, all right, I'll carry on. Yeah, there was I saw an article in the paper earlier in the week about how people think they're better or worse off during the pandemic. Now, we have to accept that many people are on furlough, but there were a majority who think they're better off because they're not travelling, they've got different issues with childcare and other issues, sort of domestic arrangements that they might have. So it was an interesting one, and I think people have really woken up to the ability to work remotely, work with Zoom, work with Skype, and cut out the travelling and see themselves as being more productive and happier, and being happier, that's the motivation in itself. I think we can probably agree that perspective is going to be important and will be a big factor. Grant, please. You're muted. You've got to switch off your mute. We can't hear you. Can you unmute? There you go. That's good.
Morning. People I'm talking to are not as convinced maybe as the guys you are for a number of reasons. I think whilst everybody feels everybody else is working from home or working at home or whatever we're calling it, then there's a degree of I'm in it, we're all in it together. Once that's broken and people do start returning to offices, then the feeling of what am I missing out on comes into that equation. A lot of people I'm talking to are saying that so many of the ideas they get come through impromptu conversations, chucking ideas around offices, bouncing ideas from across their colleagues in an unplanned way, and they feel they're missing out on that. So I'm not absolutely convinced. I get all the sort of operational cost side of it and everything else, and people need to look at their technology base on how they can deliver properly around remote working and flexible working. And I think lots of companies have made do with what they've got and are going to have ripple effect of problems from that because of data security, how people have saved and worked and everything else. That's another thing. But I do feel going back to the office will happen in more cases maybe than we're thinking about.
Okay. Interesting point. Thank you. Right, need to move on, please. The next letter P is projects. What projects to businesses which are reopening, restarting, moving forward, which have coming out of the pandemic, what projects might they have built around, and the thinking here is built around resources, built around human resources, financial resources, prioritising what the projects might be in terms of, do they need to emphasise the marketing, do they need to look seriously at their cost control, and also not overburden as well with projects. Don't look to too many different things and to be overly ambitious in order to make the adjustments and take things forward. So again, just be interested, are any of you aware of clients who have got projects they're ready to launch, be it for internal purposes, for marketing purposes, for growth purposes, for re-emergence purposes, when they're sort of back up and running? Please. Anything on projects? Dear, deathly silence there. Grant, again, can you unmute, please?
Yeah, I'm unmuted. I guess to what I was saying slightly earlier, the whole idea of working remotely and the tools that people are using and people. So what I've talking to a couple of people that I've worked with on and off over the years, and they're looking at the whole information management piece and how that is going to happen in, if they are going to continue with remote working and flexible working, how they're going to manage that whole piece. So they're looking at various projects, but they're prioritising around if flexible working is going to drive their operating model, then they need to have the governance and infrastructure in place around that.
Okay, and that's work in progress or work yet to start for them as a project?
At the moment, it's being planned. So we're looking at how they can best move to that. And there's the recovery piece of everything that's gone on around how people have been working, how they've been saving information, how they've been recording information, etc. And it's not necessarily in the correct way, but it's sort of working. Right. And there are potential issues with that down the line. If people want information access requests, etc., then how do they actually guarantee they're finding all the information they need? And then it's what we've done and how, and the mess we're in that's unseen. So that's the sort of tip of the iceberg that everybody sees, and all the unstructured data that sits underneath it, black data. Then how do they move that into their new world? So, right. And that's a planning stage for two of the people.
Yeah, they've got a lot to work on. They've got a lot to think about there. What sort of size business are they in terms of numbers and turnover? Okay. What size business are they in terms of people and turnover?
One's about 650 people.
Pretty
large business, of which probably 150 or so are furloughed.
Yes.
The other is 90 or so. Most of it, and that 90 or so business, probably 60% of those are mobile workers anyway. But because a lot of their back office actually is done in South Africa, they've had a break in that. So that's not
right.
Two countries supporting one another hasn't worked particularly well in this because of the differences in how they've had to go through things.
Okay. I think, you know, as mentors and then as advisors, we would say to clients, I've said to clients, get ready, you know, make sure your marketing's the best it's ever been. Make sure you've had a look at your costs and your sort of driving value in your costs and alerting people. I know it sort of packed fits with planning, but actually sort of get into the thought process and the action of putting projects together to protect the business, promote the business. And I'm sure many of you are sort of seeing that going on with your clients. The final one of these four is being prepared. Sounds like being Boy Scouts, but where is the state of preparedness? So where is the perhaps does connect back to projects, but you know, are they ready to go? Are they ready to start? Have they got everything they want to do? A project, want to deliver ideas, want to deliver solutions to their business. Have they got? Are they prepared to do so? Have they got everything lined up and ready to go? Are their team ready? Are their team briefed on what they're doing? Are the ideas fine-tuned? Again, any comments on that one as well, on preparedness?
Chris, it's Sana here. I've got a question. A lot of this is focusing on the task and the project and the objective. services, which, you know, absolutely vital for businesses to sort of, you know, readjust to the new ways of working. Is there any comment or anything around the people? Because one of the things that I do a lot of is, yes, is the mental health and the psychological of safety coming back to work. So we can have all of these plans, projects, sort of, you know, preparations and stuff like that, but unless people feel safe coming into the workplace, they're not going to be engaged and motivated and able to perform and actually fulfill these projects and plans that people want to do. Is there any, I haven't had a look at the Harvard article that you mentioned. Is there anything around the people in that? Because I think that's fundamental to this. One of the biggest challenges we have is a lot of people saying, I don't want to come back to work yet because I'm too anxious. I don't feel that my organisation has done enough to look after me.
Yeah, no, it's a very good point that about the people and the resources. With what I've seen, nothing's come through on that. It's been these other ones that we worked through, plus plans, which we dealt with last week. But yes, obviously very important part of preparedness is having your people prepared and ready to go. Perhaps that's the point you're trying to make, that people are going to be cooperative, willing, and feel protected and feel safe.
And I think sort of, you know, communicating that they've done all the necessary steps to make it a safe working environment, you know, not just from the physical distancing and one-way systems and staggered working, but actually really reassuring people if they've got vulnerable people that they're living with as well. It's going to be a key thing.
Yes. Okay, all right. Who else was sick? Put their hand up. Brian, please.
Yeah, I was just, I guess it kind of relates to projects and preparedness. I was thinking of an example of working with a client yesterday who does, is a tutoring agency. And for them, what we were working around was a level of preparedness. So they've lost a big income stream that they used to facilitate education around summer camps for Chinese students coming over to the UK. And basically that was a big chunk of their annual income that's just gone. What they are doing is developing product to be able to actually take all of that at various courses online and expand their reach through different agencies. So they're going to market through that. But the level of preparedness is actually what we were discussing, is it's about being sufficiently dynamic to say you've got enough there to go to the market and say this is our outline of what we want to deliver, and we know we've got the resource to deliver it, but without going the whole distance. You know, it's almost like the lean startup. What sort of model applying it to that product? Don't go the whole distance to the point of saying, right, this is what the market's now exactly going to want. They've got to have the framework, and they know they've got the resource to develop it. But then it's going to market and finding, you know, the route to market, and then sort of developing that through to fruition.
In the new world, in the
world. Yeah, because still, I think no one has absolute clarity on what the other side looks like.
We can't do, but yeah, quite.
So it's a sort of mixture of preparedness and not overcommitting, almost.
I think that's the point that was made in projects. You know, you're arrange projects you can do and are achievable and you can do with your resources. Don't overburden the team, especially when they're coming back to it into a different environment. So the reality of the situation. So, okay. All right, fine. We've got 5 minutes or so left. So thank you for your comments on those four P's from the fifth one we dealt with last week. Can we just sort of move on to more general matters, though, how people have been finding business and clients, over the past week? Any good news stories, any hot tips, any comments? We won't talk about Mr. Cummings. Let's talk about business and clients and how we're seeing things at present. Please. Gary. You need to unmute, Gary.
I do. Yeah, sorry.
That's all right.
Look, I think without sounding like a broken record, you know, things have changed. People's business models need to change. But as we discussed last week, we need a plan. I think there are some shoots of opportunity. You know, I've won two or three clients in the last month. We've launched new products that people are interested in. I've used the spare time that I've generated over the last few weeks where I've lost a little bit of top line just to kind of get a focus on marketing. But I think there are opportunities there. But it's all going to come down to having a plan and executing that plan. And I think, as has been said on this call today, not overcommitting as far as costs or projects are concerned. You know, it's having a sensible plan, an ambitious plan, And, you know, I think us as mentors have got a fantastic opportunity just to hold the hands of our clients and guide them through what, you know, what may be troubled waters over the last 2 or 3 months. But, you know, there are some shoots of opportunity I've seen.
Yeah. Only coming through my pipeline in the past couple of weeks, I've been, a lot of people talk about startups. Now, whether the startup, whether they're people who are serious about startups, I guess some are people just sort of defaulting back to, I want to start a business because I've lost my job or I've got grave doubts about my job. But I think there are a lot of people out there who have, I had an inquiry, had a lead the other day, trying to say, I'm taking a different view on life. I've worked in the corporate sector. I now want to go and do my own thing. And now's the time to do it because the world is changing. And I thought that was an interesting comment and an interesting observation. Anybody else on that one? So I was going to ask about bounce back loans. Any feedback on bounce back loans? Because I know some people have been struggling in getting hold of them and getting the banks to push them through their systems. I've heard some people taking 3 weeks for the bounce back loans to come through. Anything on that? Any feedback from clients? Grant, please.
I've only one client I've spoken to about bounce back loans, but within 24 hours, everything was done. They had they were with Barclays.
I heard good things about HSBC, 2.5 weeks, I've heard.
Okay, well, but these guys with Barclays, they said they were informed all the time. They were promised it the day after they filled the form in. Then they got a text and an email saying, sorry, delay, you'll have it by close of business the following day, and they did.
Good, right.
So, and that they, in their opinion, it worked fantastically well.
Yeah, good. Pleased to hear it. Simon, we can't hear you. We still can't hear you. You shut him up at last. sorry. One thing else I picked up on bounce back loans, I'm talking to a new client tomorrow who's a plumbing and heating engineer wanting to grow his business and evolve his business. And he's doing okay. And he said to me that I've taken the bounce back loan because I can use it for, I can use it carefully for investment and development purposes. And I thought that was an interesting one. I really would stress the word, I suppose, to any client, be careful because, you know, you've got to get it right. But it does, I think it does produce an opportunity for some careful investments and some careful use of resources. So I think that's something which I'd feedback as well. Can I also, just moving on again, anybody else want to say anything about current projects, current clients, any good news stories or bounce back, anything like that? No, very mostly quiet this morning.
I suppose a minor good news story in a way. We've a state agency client I was talking to yesterday was actually saying that as a result of some of the challenges presented in the market to landlords, she was getting a lot of people approaching her to take over management of their property. So I think, you know, it's about seeing, you know, that's a market that people could say, well, there's a risk to that there if we're potentially seeing a bit of a downturn in the economy. But she's seen an opportunity to grow a different side of the business. And I guess it's traditionally going back to what landlords do go back to, which is management of rental, estate agents in management of rental during times of kind of downturn and risk. So yeah, she's seen a growth opportunity there.
That's good to hear. Yes, good to hear. Okay, can I just mention, before we wrap up, just mention briefly growth hubs. The ABM, we're on a bit of a campaign with growth hubs at present. Many of you have dealt with the growth hubs, the government's business support scheme. Some growth hubs are good, some are not so good. I've spoken to many in the past month or so. I'm keen, and the ABM, we have a policy of making contacts, getting ourselves known with the growth hubs, getting ourselves on their websites, on their directories, getting to know their navigators and their account executives, obviously with the objective of trying to sort of get into make it part of our pipeline. We've got some good news coming forward. I've got more ground to cover. Tomorrow, for example, I'm speaking to the Suffolk and Norfolk growth hub based in Ipswich. Anybody know about them? Anyone deal with that part of the world? I've also got Coastal Capital, who are in my past world, they cover Brighton, West Sussex, part of Surrey. They are very go ahead. They cover an enormous geographical area and with 200,000 SMEs within the area, which includes Gatwick. I'm hoping with them to get a partnership agreement, but they're preoccupied with other things at present. But if you've got contacts with growth hubs, if you know growth hub managers or you know navigators, I would be very grateful if you could drop an email with their name as an introduction, and I'll follow through as we're trying to make more ground with growth hubs. The next Wednesday, Simon and I have got a conference call with growth hub clusters as arranged through the advancing work that Simon's doing with BES. So we've got some good contacts in the department with around growth hubs as well as out in the field with growth hubs. So do please let me know and feedback anything you've got, please. I think with that, it's time to say goodbye. Thank you all very much for taking part this morning. Thank you for your contributions, and good to see you all, and I look forward to seeing you again next week. So thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.